This episode of Love to Sew is brought to you by SoSo Live, the ultimate sew-along YouTube channel.
SoSo Live is all about building a community of sewists. All are welcome to watch and learn live with the host, Sarah Mee Duffy. You can watch for free twice weekly on Thursdays and Saturdays, and there are uploaded videos too.
Go to youtube.com/SoSoLive to check it out. That's youtube.com/SoSoLive. And now, on to the show. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Hello and welcome. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Helen.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Today we are chatting all about sewing menswear. You can make menswear for yourself or a loved one, and we give you loads of project ideas to get started. We also chat about the pressure of sewing for others and how to find and follow more men who sew online.
Where are all the men? Where are they?
It is not raining men in the sewing community.
Helen, what if they want to make menswear for a not loved one?
Like for a stranger?
Like for a liked one.
Oh.
Or an acquaintance.
What about for a frenemy?
Ooh. Intentionally, like,
sabotage them. Happy New Year! I know we keep saying that, but it's because we keep having New Year milestones.
Yes.
This is our first Just Us of 2019.
Very exciting. Feels good to sit across from you again, Helen.
It does.
Yes.
Despite the fact that we're both sick. I know. It's just never ending, the sickness. I just keep catching different colds.
Yeah.
Hopping from cold to cold.
Yeah.
We wanted to quickly mention that we did a big New Year's resolution talking about 2019, talking about 2018, all of that stuff in our most recent Patreon episode, which you can have access to if you support us on Patreon. So you can go to patreon.com/lovetosew to subscribe and get more information about all that good stuff.
Yeah. Ooh, I wanted to say something about New Year's resolutions.
What's that?
So everybody's making resolutions right now in the community and like talking about their make nine and talking about all the things that they want to do, self-improvement. I'm going to start running more, going to the gym, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say that you're okay just the way you are.
Yeah.
You don't have to make resolutions. You don't have to improve. You are perfect.
Yeah.
Just the way you are.
You're beautiful.
So just remember that if you're feeling bad about not falling off the wagon already or whatever.
Look, we've all already fallen off the wagon.
You didn't need to change in the first place. All right. Helen, oh my gosh, you're hiring.
I am conducting interviews, meeting amazing people, struggling to choose, all that good stuff.
Yeah. I kind of love talking with you about all of these dilemmas and you're being torn. I love it.
It's an exciting process, but I'm so nervous that I'm going to make like the wrong choice. I'm in the throes of it right now, you guys.
Yeah. You're going to make the right choice for you. For
next time we hop on here for Just Us, I'll probably have an update. I'll have an employee.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait to meet him or her.
Yeah. Me too. Still got interviews to go. You never know.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Yes. And I guess the like biggest news of the month is that I sold out of our jeans making workshop.
Yay.
So fast. We did two separate weekends with Lauren Taylor. They're going to be happening in April. And I started selling spots before Christmas and they sold out in a day, both weekends.
So,
crazy.
So exciting.
Yeah. Freaking amazing.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see Lauren again when she comes to Vancouver.
Yes.
And so excited for everyone who's taking that class because we took it at camp and it was so good. So I know they're going to have an amazing time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It's a big step for you.
Yeah. It is a big step.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what's going on with us.
Short catch up.
Yeah. Short catch up.
Yeah. If you want to hear us ramble on, you can hear it on Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice long one.
Yeah. And we want to say hello today to our listeners in Japan. Caroline, did you know that Japan is made up of 6,852 islands?
I did not.
That's a lot of islands.
That's a lot of islands. Is that true?
Yeah. The internet said it.
I demand a fact check.
It must be true.
I love that Japan is the home of sashiko and boro, which are both very popular mending techniques in the sewing community.
I know. I'm getting a little sashiko kit.
Ooh.
From Sewing with Kate. She has these cute little sashiko kits and she's sending me one. I'm very excited.
Fun.
Try it out.
I love sashiko.
Me too.
I wish that my jeans would rip like at cute places, like at the knee,
not or like
not
thigh.
In the crotch, because I can't really sashiko my like in between the thighs area.
You could. It would just be.
I don't think
it would probably draw more attention.
Yeah, I don't think it would last very long. I wish I could have like cute rips in cute spots so I could sashiko my jeans.
Oh my gosh! You could first world rip them on purpose, but that kind of feels a bit wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, it probably does. Yeah. Ooh, but speaking of listeners in other countries,
yes,
we are gathering information from you guys. So hit us up on Instagram and you'll see a little prompt there about sewing around the world. We want to hear from our listeners that are not in Canada, the US, Australia, and the UK, because we have, you know, we know that there are sewing communities there and we've interviewed a lot of people from there, but we want to hear from people in other countries. So go to Instagram, read our prompt, send us an email, voicemail, comment on Instagram, DM us, however you want to get in touch is fine. We're trying to get all of the feedback from our listeners so that we can do a really cool series this year all about sewing around the world. It's going to be a multi-part series and we're not really sure exactly what it's going to be like yet. We want to wait until we get a lot of feedback so we can figure out how we're going to structure it, but I'm really excited about it.
I'm really excited too. It's going to be so much fun to put it together. And yes, you can get in touch with us in lots of different ways, but if you leave us a voicemail, you'll be in my heart forever. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
I want more voicemails.
More voicemails. So we have had a lot of people email us, get in touch with us. We've noticed a lot in the sewing community that there are some cool hashtags going around.
Yes.
So we wanted to mention a few of our favorites. The first one is hashtag sew3unsewn, and that's a challenge from the Rural Sewists, and sew3 is the number 3, so it's hashtag sew3unsewn.
Yeah, so that one is about using something that you already have, so whether it's a pattern that you have bought but you haven't sewn, a fabric in your stash, or an unfinished object, a work in progress that you've kind of set aside, just something that you have around, any one of those three, doesn't have to be all three of those three. It's encouraging us to use the materials that we have.
Yes, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit of sustainability in that one.
And the next one is hashtag sew twists and ties. And this one is being hosted by the lovely Meg at Cookin' and Craftin'. And it's about sewing patterns that have cool twists and ties in them, of which there are so many. She rounded up all of them in blog posts and wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. When I was putting together my Make 9 for 2019, I had so many patterns with ties in them. And I was like, I think I need to scale it back because people are going to be like, why do you have so many patterns with ties in them?
Yeah.
In your Make 9.
Pattern pieces with ties in them are often really weird shapes, which is kind of fun for sewing because you don't know how it's going to come together. And then it just sort of magically makes sense in the end.
Yeah. I love these like fun challenges that are popping up that are like just for fun, you know, like just do it for fun. There's no prize. There's no, you know, there's no pressure. It's just let's also address with a twist or a tie in it, you know, or whatever. I really like it.
Me too.
Whatever.
Or whatever.
Cut that out, Sam. I love it.
Leave that in, Sam. Okay, the next one is hashtag dress like a crayon.
Yes, Katie, one of our previous guests, What Katie Sews, put together this little challenge. And it's really simple. She's just encouraging you to dress from head to toe in a single color. So head to toe green, head to toe pink, head to toe blue, head to toe maroon, whatever you want. The idea is to dress all in one color so that you look like a crayon.
Do you have to make new things for this? Or
no.
You can just wear existing things.
Just like outfit of the day style.
Oh my gosh, I should do this. I'm sure I could pull something together.
Yeah, it's a fun challenge. And it looks like, I really love the look of outfits that are like head to toe monochromatic. So
does gray count?
Gray does count. I mean, I've seen people do black,
I guess gray. There are gray crayons.
Yeah. can color in any color of crayon.
That's a cute challenge.
It's a very cute challenge. Another cute challenge, So Fancy Pants.
So Fancy Pants.
Both you and I are sponsoring this challenge, yeah. I believe. But this one is fun too. It's a few ladies in the sewing community have put it together, and it's all about sewing pants in the month of January. Mm-hmm. I love sewing pants.
Me too. I'm getting more into sewing pants. It's been really fun.
Yeah.
And you don't have to sew jeans. You can sew elastic waisted culottes.
Yes.
You can sew leggings. I think you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Yeah. And they don't actually need to be like fancy, right?
If they're on you and you're fancy, then they're fancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all about the attitude. I have one more to add to this list that isn't here.
Ooh.
So Japanese in January. This one's being hosted by Anna at Blogless Anna, and it's about sewing from your Japanese pattern books. A lot of people have these Japanese pattern books and they have these amazing designs in them, but sometimes we get a little intimidated by the instructions, or just, you know, sewing something out of a book is a little bit more involved sometimes. So it's encouraging people to use their Japanese pattern books. So you can check that one out too.
Love it. Did you plan that we're talking about Japan earlier?
No, I totally didn't.
Perfect.
So we're going to put links for all of these hashtags in the show notes at lovetosewpodcast.com, so you can go and check them out and learn more about the challenges.
Yes. Okay, we have a question / some feedback to share. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there such a thing as a non-animal-based fabric that's similar to wool? I want to sew a coat that specifies wool and swap the wool out for a vegan fabric, but I can't find anything similar. I did find faux wool made of polyester, but it was much too light for a coat. Any suggestions? So I can't remember where this question came in, but we then had a listener give feedback. So I don't remember how this came in.
Are you talking to me or the listeners?
Yes, both of you.
I don't think these are related. It's just more like someone commented and then someone else commented in another place.
Oh, like, and then I like made the connection.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you made the connection.
I think I did, yeah.
Okay. So we had Jennifer, one of our listeners, recommend a vegan coating. It's from fabricwholesaledirect.com and it comes in 14 colors. So if there are any vegans out there looking for a non-wool coating, this is tried and tested by Jennifer. She recommends it. So we'll link it in the show notes.
Yes. Thank you for that. I love answering questions.
Woo.
Listener to listener.
Yes.
We're just the in-between.
I like
just
it.
Just a messenger.
We're like matchmakers.
Yeah. Okay, we got a really adorable voicemail that we want to play for you guys because it makes us happy and hopefully it'll make you happy too.
Hi, Helen and Caroline. This is Amelia in Melbourne, Australia, and I'm here with my 9-year-old son, and he has an idea about what would be a really good shape for a patch pocket.
If you had a game console or something, you can make an especially shaped back pocket for the funny shaped game console or something like that.
So this is your biggest 9-year-old fan. We love the podcast. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Just so amazing. Such a great idea.
It's a good idea.
It's a really, really good idea. I feel like my 9-year-old cousin would be really into this idea.
Yeah, for sure.
So if anyone wants to make specially shaped patch pockets and send us a picture, it would make
feel
my day.
Free, yeah.
Make my week. Make my year.
And if any other cute kids want to call us,
oh my
gosh,
call
us at 1-844-739-9428. We did it together. We remembered it together.
Yes. And I also just wanted to say that we totally live for those videos that you guys send us of your kids singing our theme song.
Oh, yeah. They're my favorite. Dancing,
they really
singing.
Are. Yes. I love the idea of little kiddos out there just dancing and singing along to our theme song while you listen to our podcast.
Me too.
That's why we keep it clean, people, because we want kids to listen.
Yes.
All right. So we also have
have a quick hot tip for our Canadian listeners out there. There is a new PDF printing service available in Canada called SoYYC. So they print and ship copy shop files for a very reasonable rate. You can head to soyyc.ca to learn more. We will link it in the show notes. And thank you to Deb and Todd Thompson for letting us know about your awesome business.
I'm so glad that they started this because there hasn't been one in Canada, or not one that I know of. I mean, let me know. I love to spread the word.
No, it's really awesome. I hope that you guys go and use it because I want them to be successful. I think it's an awesome business idea.
Yeah, me too. Okay, we have a couple of listener questions. The first one is from Kara. Hi, Helen and Caroline. I am very new to sewing. I borrowed my aunt's sewing machine, ordered fabric from Blackbird, got my hands on a grain line tank top pattern. Now, do I just go for it? It's like, I'm scared to start. I've played around and made a few small pouches and things. Am I really ready to sew a shirt? Help, I need a push. This is relatable.
Kara.
It is. You do. You just go for it.
You go for
it. I know. And you clearly know that's what you need to do, but I totally understand needing a push. It's hard not to feel like we need permission to do things, but that's how you get better and that's how you learn. And yes, you got to go for it.
Yeah. I think if you're listening to this right now, Kara, and you have not already gone for it, take 10 minutes, go thread your sewing machine. You just have to start.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing, is getting into that sewing space and just starting the project. And you're just going to gain some momentum as you go and, you know, just do it in small chunks to begin with.
Yeah. Starting is the hardest part of anything.
It really is. Yeah. Okay, we have a question from Ellen. I was very excited to hear that you're planning an episode about men's sewing. I'd love to hear more about good pattern sources, key measurements to consider for alterations, ideas for projects, common pitfalls to consider. I learned today not to forget to switch the side of buttonholes from right to left. What's the origin of that tradition anyway?
Great questions. Thank you for your excitement about the episode. We're going to answer all of this in the show, and we love basing shows on listener questions. So you can always submit one at lovetosewpodcast.com/question. I'm all about our website today.
Yeah.
Go to the website.
Throw it. Well, I mean, you built it, so you're allowed.
Yeah, go look at it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, so how have we not done an episode about sewing menswear? It's episode 76.
I think we're
finally talking about it.
It's maybe partly due to shame that you and I promise to make Sam and Shay things all the time and then don't follow through and don't have a ton of experience sewing menswear.
Yeah.
But it's high time we did an episode about it. So thank you for waiting. Being patient, listeners.
Thank you for waiting.
Yes. So menswear, maybe you want to sew it for your partner. Maybe you want to sew it for yourself, your kids, your friends, your dad, I mean, I don't know, anyone. And we want to talk about whether there's different methods or techniques for sewing menswear. You know, what are some good patterns to get started with? What fabrics you're going to encounter when you're working with menswear? We're going to cover all of that in today's episode. And we also want to say that menswear is for everyone. It's not just for men. Obviously, we're going to be saying the word man and woman in this episode because those are terms used in fashion and pattern making. But you know, if you're non-binary or you just feel like you have a masculine body and you want to wear menswear, you want to experiment with wearing menswear, that's awesome. And menswear does not have to be for men. So we want to throw that out there and let everybody know that this is a very welcoming space where we're going to talk about making men's clothes.
Woohoo! All right. So is sewing menswear different than sewing women's wear?
I mean, not really. Like, the fitting might be a little bit different, but the act of sewing itself is the same. You know, you're putting fabrics together and running them through your machine and making a garment.
What about the fact that things close the opposite way?
Yes, that was part of Ellen's question at the beginning. And I didn't know the origin of this. I'd heard things over the years, and I think there are different theories out there. If someone is a historian and has a definitive reason for this that they want to share, please feel free to email us. But I did read some things online, so we can share the different theories for why women's clothes, the buttons are on the left-hand side, and men's clothes, the buttons are on the right.
Yeah, because you're closing right over left for women and left over right for men.
Exactly. So then the buttons are underneath.
Yeah.
It's a, anyways, they're the opposite.
Yeah.
So for men, I read a couple of things. It could be because they used to hold a weapon in their right hand. So they would have their left hand free to unbutton their shirt.
that like they would have to use their left hand. I don't know why you would be holding a sword and unbuttoning your shirt at the same time, but that was something I read, so maybe. Or it was sort of a holdover from armor, which was traditionally had a left over right closure, so that like if someone's striking you with a sword with their right hand, the point of the sword is not going to slip into your armor. It's going to like glance off because of the way it's folded over in the front.
Got it.
That could be a holdover from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And why women on the left?
So a few theories about this as well. Breastfeeding and holding a baby. A lot of people are right-handed, so they hold their babies in the left hand, and then it's easier for them to unbutton their shirt with their right hand for breastfeeding purposes. Another thing I read was riding side saddle and to eliminate having a breeze going into your shirt. And then the last one, which seems to be the most common theory, is that women were often not dressing themselves. They were being dressed by somebody else. So the buttons were on the opposite side so that whoever was dressing them could easily do the buttons up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Which makes logical sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now it's just a holdover from the past that, I don't know, we still have for some weird reason.
Yeah.
I think whenever I've worn men's shirts, it is a bit weird when you try to put them on, or like a men's coat or something. You're like, wait a second.
Yeah, it throws you off, yeah. Right?
Yeah, but it's possible to do them up both ways.
All right. So now that we've cleared that up.
There aren't really that many other differences.
No.
Yeah. Things really are drafted a little differently. That's about it.
And if you're new to sewing for others, that may present some new challenges. And yeah. One of those might be measuring your man or yeah, the or man that you're sewing for. Yeah. So Thread Theory has a really great article called How to Measure a Man. There's a really awesome chart drawing on there with the different places that you should measure. So we'll link that in the show notes to help you out.
Mm-hmm. And what about just in general sewing for others, I feel like sewing for like a partner or a family member, like a loved one, there's pressure, you know? Yeah. I feel the pressure.
Yeah, I feel that pressure too. I mean, I think one of the best things that you can do is not overcommit. I've been there. Have you been there?
I'll sew you a whole new wardrobe this year. It's going to be amazing.
I mean, who out there has promised to sew something for someone at some point mm-hmm. in their sewing journey and then not done it?
Oh.
Just not done it.
Yeah.
I still carry guilt about some of that. That red dress that I promised my aunt 5 years ago.
Oh.
Probably 10 years ago now.
You should just call her and be like, get it off your chest.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I
mean,
I think we just need to let go of that like guilt and responsibility. Yeah. But anyways, it is pressure sewing for a loved one.
Yeah.
So don't overcommit. That's, I think, our number one tip there.
Yeah. Especially if it's your first time sewing for somebody else, you know, you might not like it. We're used to sewing for ourselves, and there's a lot of joy that comes with taking something off the machine and putting it on and looking in the mirror and sharing it online and all that stuff we love doing in the community. And when you're sewing for someone else, you can still do a lot of those things, but it might not feel the same for you and you might not like it.
Yeah. And you can involve this person in the process, that might help you to stay motivated, and you might end up getting better results that way because you're ensuring that they are liking what you're doing as you go along and you're getting their feedback as you go. Mm-hmm. So I definitely agree that surprises are hard to pull off with a good fit.
Yes.
I've been known to sew from afar quite a few times.
Yeah.
Because a lot of my family doesn't live in the same city as me. Mm-hmm. It usually works out for me, but I also sew a lot of knit garments.
Knits are okay, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or something loose and forgiving. Like a lot of people were making suki kimonos for mm-hmm. Christmas presents, and it's an amazing Christmas present. And because of the way that it fits, it's very forgiving. But if you're going to make like a button up shirt or a pair of jeans for somebody, I mean, you don't want to put in all the effort only to have it not fit. So involving them in the process, trying a muslin on them, maybe even letting them help pick the fabrics. People really enjoy that. And you can help guide them. You know, people who don't sew sometimes go for things that won't work.
Yeah.
And you also want to make sure that you're encouraging them to pick something that is going to work for them, pointing them in the right direction. So maybe, you know, presenting, here's three cotton shirtings. Which one do you like?
Yeah.
You know, instead of going to the fabric store and letting them go wild.
Yeah. Yeah, and make sure that they know that they're allowed to wear the thing that you made them. Sometimes people are afraid to wear gifts, especially when it's a handmade gift, because maybe they don't want to ruin it or wear it down, get it dirty, but you're making it for them to wear. So just when you give it to them, make sure that you're clear. Please wear this. I want to see you wear this. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to wear it, you know?
And tell them how to wash it, because people maybe won't wear it because they think they can't put it in the dryer. And so then they don't want to wash it. And so they don't want to wear it. And it's like a whole thing. So
yeah.
Yeah. Washing instructions is very helpful as well. And I think you also kind of have to accept that you're giving someone an article of clothing and it might not become their favorite article of clothing, even though it has a sentimental value because you made it. It's probably beautifully made, because handmade clothes usually are better made than ready to wear stuff. Doesn't mean that they're going to love it. Clothing is kind of fickle like that, you know, just like we go into stores and purchase something thinking it's going to be our new favorite top, and we just, for whatever reason, don't end up reaching for it. And we all make mistakes like that all the time. So it's the same with handmade things. You're not always going to love them.
Yeah. And that's okay. And also remember that you may not like sewing for others.
Yeah.
And that's also okay. If you prefer to sew for yourself, that is totally justified. Sometimes not getting to wear the final garment takes some of the fun out of it.
Yeah. That's kind of what I found. I do enjoy sewing for Sam. It's rewarding to see him wearing the things that I make him, but it doesn't have the same feeling as when I'm sewing for myself and holding things up. You know, you finish your bodice fronts and you hold them up like sort of on your body in front of the mirror, and you're like, oh my god, this is gonna look so cute. Like, the whole process is just more fun.
Yeah
Sorry, Sam.
That's why we never sew for a partner.
This episode is sponsored by SoSo Live. SoSo Live broadcasts sew-alongs for popular patterns in the community. Watch on YouTube Live twice weekly on Thursdays and Saturdays, and live streams are uploaded after if you miss a session.
Host Sarah Mee Duffy will be sewing the Thread Theory Designs Jutland Pants and Fairfield Button-Up Shirt, both excellent sewing patterns for men, in January and February. She has over 30 years experience sewing and drafting patterns for men, women, and children, and she welcomes us to join her for free on her YouTube channel for friendly and fun sewing.
Okay, sewists, we really cannot stress enough how cool it is that she walks you through every stage of the project in a laid-back yet professional setting. Sarah Mee invites sewists of all levels to subscribe to her channel and sew along with her.
Watch SoSo Live twice weekly on Thursdays and Saturdays, or check out the videos after if you miss a session. You can also get a free closet organizer pattern by signing up for her newsletter. We will link it in the show notes for you. Go to youtube.com/sosolive to subscribe for free. That's youtube.com/sosolive.
Where to begin? What's a good first project if you're sewing for a guy?
I think that boxers or briefs is a good first project, a popular first project that I've seen out there. You can make boxers with a woven fabric, so super stable cotton. If you're new to sewing, this would be an easy project. Or you can make briefs with a knit fabric, and that's just a fun project. And it's something that whoever you're sewing it for will probably get a lot of wear out of, because everybody needs to wear underwear.
Yes.
And it'll be easy for you and something fun. And you can also pick a fun print or a pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's the Comox Trunks by Thread Theory. That's a good briefs pattern. Mm-hmm. And then there's lots of boxer patterns out there, just too many to even mention. Yeah. Or you can take an existing pair of their boxers that are kind of worn out, cut them up, and make your own pattern that you know is going to fit them.
Yeah, because boxers are kind of particular. There's so many different styles out there. Yeah. So if the person that you're sewing for has a style that they like, it might be fun to copy that pattern.
Yeah.
So get exactly what they want.
Totally.
All right. Another good way to go is accessories. So a tote bag could be a fun one. Mm-hmm. an apron.
Yeah.
You made Sam an apron.
Oh my gosh. I had so much fun making him a painting apron because he paints little miniatures for his Warhammer and other war games that he plays. So he does a lot of mini painting. So I made him a waxed canvas apron that had some like mini painting specific features to it. And it's green, which is his favorite color. And that project was super, super fun. And it could be a surprise because I knew that it was going to fit him generally, you know.
Yeah, accessories are good ones for gifts because if you don't want to tell the person that you're sewing something for them, yeah, you don't have to worry about fitting. Bow tie or regular tie is another really great option a gift. A wallet. You can sew a wallet. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
Thread Theory has some wallet patterns. They're really cute.
Yes. Or a dop kit. I love this idea.
Yeah.
Dop kits are great.
They're really cute.
Yeah, satisfying to sew. Mm-hmm. And then PJ pants is another really good kind of beginner entry-level option. So you can do woven or knit PJ pants, Hudson pants. We're huge fans of the Hudson pants, mm-hmm. the men's Hudson pants. And there's also Wardrobe by Me has a unisex PJ pattern. Mm-hmm. Didn't that one just come out?
It did. Yeah, it's recent. And it's just like a very basic PJ pant.
Yeah.
You know, something super comfy that they'll wear around the house and probably love.
Yeah.
I want a pair.
Yeah.
Another option would be a bathrobe. Again, kind of thinking about articles that they're going to feel comfortable wearing and get a lot of use out of. So maybe something bathrobe-y. Named has a good unisex bathrobe pattern. I've also seen people make sukis for their men.
Ooh.
Which can work out totally. Yeah. So if you want something more kimono-like.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
A t-shirt or a Henley would be probably the next level up, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Knits are easier to fit. A Henley would be a little bit more complicated because of the little placket going on, but I think those are really good options.
Yeah. And then along that vein, a hoodie or a sweatshirt, also knits, also easy to fit, also everyday kind of wear. And you can have fun, you know, mixing colors. You could do sleeves different colors, the hood different colors, little kangaroo pocket, kangaroo, the little kangaroo pocket a different color and just play around with that. I think that's really fun.
Yeah. And if you have sewn a button-up shirt for yourself, then you can sew a button-up shirt for a guy. It's pretty much the same thing. And there are some great button-up shirt patterns out there. Mm-hmm. We mentioned the Fairfield button-up from Thread Theory. Mm-hmm. There's also the Collet Negroni shirt, which doesn't have a collar stand.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a simpler men's button-up shirt pattern. Mm-hmm. Those are good options.
Yeah. And then a step up from that, maybe some pants or shorts. You can make, you know, cargo pants, khaki pants, you could make wool pants, trousers, you could make jeans. There's all sorts of things in this arena. Some great patterns out there. We're going to talk about pattern companies and have an awesome list of them in the show notes. I know Sam's going to do a great job with this one.
Yes. What about a vest?
Ooh, there's a vest from Thread Theory, the Belvedere vest.
Ooh.
And I have it and I've been meaning to make it for Sam because he used to wear a lot of vests.
Like over a button-up shirt?
Yeah.
Kind of as a...
like a tweed, you know, with like the satin back and it's just over a button-up and it's kind of
without
classy.
The suit jacket?
Like yeah, just without a casual the suit jacket. Kind of it's kind of a hipster look. You
I
know?
Like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Be super nice.
I feel like Shay would be into a vest.
Yeah, it would be a fun project too because it's pretty small, but you still have a lot of those kind of more tailoring techniques. So you feel like and you're working with wool and it's lined. Yeah. Well
Love
pockets
it.
Maybe.
Weld pockets. Ooh. Oh, getting excited here. Outerwear.
Yeah, put some sleeves on that vest.
The Goldstream Peacoat from Thread Theory is a really great one. And there are also some really good outerwear patterns from Merchant and Mills.
Yes.
So, yeah. That's a great option, outerwear.
And then you can go the extra mile or run the extra mile and make some athletic wear for your man. Fair Trade has some menswear athletic patterns that you can try out and make some, I don't know, running leggings or biking leggings or running tops and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever if you don't run. What else do people do? Rock climb, hike, ballet?
Hiking would be cool. That I keep mentioning Thread Theory because they're like, you know, one of the few menswear sewing pattern companies, but they have those more work pants. And I've seen those made into hiking pants with like a more waterproof fabric.
Are those the Jetlands or are those the Jedediahs?
Maybe the Jetland. The ones I with always the zipper, get them confused. They like the bottom half
oh, yeah,
zips
it has,
off.
Oh, is it? The like it's so 90s with the zip off bottoms. Yeah. Guys love those.
Yeah.
Zip off and then their shorts.
We'll link it in the show notes for you guys. All right. So have you tried any men's patterns for yourself?
I haven't made any for myself to wear, but I was talking, I think, on a Patreon episode where I had commandeered some of Sam's pants to wear for myself because they have the boyfriend jean fit that I like boyfriend jeans that I've tried on in stores always are way too tight in the calves and they don't have that like slouchy look that I actually want. So I've just been wearing his jeans,
like his old jeans that
jeans that are too small for him, but they fit me perfectly and like they're already worn in
and they're faded literal boyfriend jeans.
Yeah, and they're my boyfriend's jeans and they fit really well. Like there isn't like a giant bulge in the crotch or anything. Like they just fit pretty close to regular jeans. So I enjoy wearing those.
Yeah, so if you want to get that kind of look, then maybe going with a men's pattern might be the way to go.
Yeah,
for depending on your body type.
And you could do some basic crotch adjustments and maybe, you know, sort things out a little bit more for your body, but
sort things out. Yeah, comfy loose tees and hoodies are also like a fun sewing pattern to try out if you want to wear some menswear.
Yeah. And then if you have a broader shoulder or you feel like you have a bit more of a masculine body type, you could try menswear button-ups to kind of fit a little bit better. If you don't want something that's too feminine, then I think making a menswear button-up would be a good choice.
Yes. Great ideas.
Okay, what about pattern companies? Like you said, we talked about Thread Theory a lot in that list. They have a great range of patterns. They're kind of crushing it in the menswear pattern department. And they've started releasing some things with a wider size range, which is really exciting. So I hope they continue to do that. So definitely go check out their shop.
And they also sell other pattern companies' patterns that do men's patterns in their shops. So I think they carry Merchant and Mills hot patterns and even vintage patterns.
Yeah.
They collect them and resell them in their shop at very reasonable prices. So I really love that Thread Theory is kind of amalgamating all of the menswear patterns in their shop. So go check them out if you want like a really good one-stop shop for that.
Yeah. And they have some fabrics too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The next one, Merchant and Mills, has quite a few excellent menswear patterns. You can purchase from their site as well. Good selection.
Yeah.
I haven't tried any of them. I've seen them out there.
I haven't either, but I want to try. I haven't tried any Merchant and Mills patterns. Have you? At all?
No, I haven't.
We should.
I want to make that landscape jacket.
Oh,
it's really, really cool.
Mm. Okay. We're getting sidetracked.
Wardrobe by Me. We were talking about their unisex PJ pants. They have a really good selection of menswear as well. Lots of ladies' patterns too. Yeah, an interesting pattern company that's been on my radar lately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got to meet the lovely ladies of Jolly. Mm-hmm. And they have some great menswear options in their line. That's a Montreal or Quebec-based company.
Yeah.
And they've been making patterns for a really long time. Really wide size range. Mm-hmm. So they're a really good option for menswear as well.
So Def was the magazine that was running last year. And they released some menswear patterns along with that you can still get access to. They're under the Mimi G's label. You can find them on her website, modeled by the wonderful Norris Donta Ford. There's a good little selection there as well.
We'll talk more about him later.
The next one is Islander Sewing. This one was new to me, but as I was, you know, trying to find menswear patterns to recommend to you guys, I stumbled upon them. So check them out too.
Yeah, a few of these are new to me. Yeah. Toby K patterns.
Yeah, that was new to me too. I think I discovered them through the Thread Theory shop.
Cool.
And there's some patterns on their site that I think they go to a wide size range as well. Mm-hmm. Hot Patterns has a few menswear options. And then there's an interesting website called freesewing.org, and that's run by
Juste de Coq.
Thank you. And it's a really cool site where he's developed some menswear patterns, and you can also, you know, put in your measurements and get a size that fits for you, which is really interesting. Go check out his patterns as well.
Yes, I said his name confidently, but I have no idea if that's how it's actually said.
Sorry, Juste.
Patterns for Pirates also have some good menswear options. Mm-hmm. And of course, Colette and Seamwork, they have a few options. They did the whole Walden line a few years ago that was specifically men's patterns, and Seamwork had a few options come out as well last year, I believe.
Yeah, they had the Denali vest.
Yeah.
And I think there was another one, a sweater. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, there's lots of big four options as well. Loads of big four options. And we're going to put links to everything in the show notes, like we said. So you can go check out these pattern companies and let us know if you've tried them before, because some of them are new to us.
Yes. And please let us know what we missed.
Yes.
I feel like we are definitely going to be missing some things in this episode, because it feels like there is just not a lot of menswear options out there in the sewing community. So if we are missing anything, please email us, message us, let us know, and we'll do some follow-ups.
Mm-hmm. Spread the word.
Yes. And, you know, in the same vein, we wanted to round up some inspiring men in the sewing community for you guys to follow, but we had some trouble coming up with a list.
Yeah, we did. And we want, like we said, to share more and encourage more connection with the men out there who are sewing in our community. So we do want to share that with you all. And we have a few to share. We have, obviously, Norris Dante Ford, as we keep mentioning. He's very inspiring. Mimi G was telling us about how he got started with sewing. And it was so cool to hear that he just dove right in and really taking it all in stride and looks amazing in everything he makes. And
yeah.
I promise I don't have a crush on him.
Yeah. Definitely not me.
No, either. Not me either. Yeah.
No. Okay. Aiden Owen.
Yeah. Our only man on the podcast to date. Yes.
He is the knitting, or actually just knitting monk on Instagram.
Yeah.
So no the, just knitting monk. And he knits and he sews. So you can follow him for knitting and sewing inspiration.
Mm-hmm. The next one is at Mainly Menswear. You found this one.
Yes. When I was searching the menswear hashtag that I know, I found this gentleman. He's an older guy and he dresses very nicely and he shares his sewing makes. So I highly recommend you guys go check him out.
And last but not least, we would be remiss if we didn't mention Peter Lappin of Male Patterned Boldness.
Yes.
That is his blog, and he shares on Instagram as well. So inspiring, such a lovely human being. I'd love to meet him one day.
Yeah, me too. And I'm sure there are like tons of other men out there who sew. It just seems like they're not on Instagram.
Or they don't have, like, we were talking about this, like the dedicated sewing accounts.
You know?
Like a lot of women in the sewing community have these dedicated sewing accounts where they're just sharing sewing with maybe a little bit of their life peppered in, but there's less of that.
Yeah,
in the menswear scene.
Yeah. So if you know of anyone that you want to let us know about.
Mm-hmm. Or that you'd like to hear on the show. We're not anti having guys on the show. I promise you.
Yeah.
But our audience is, you know, 99% women. So, you know, our content is probably also going to be 99% women.
And that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
That's a true number. I think it's actually 97.
97. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, if there's anyone that you'd like to hear on the show, please do let us know.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on and talk a little bit about fitting issues for masculine bodies. Seamwork did a really great article that we're going to link in the show notes, mm-hmm. all about adjustments for men.
Yeah. And a lot of them are pretty similar to the adjustments that we hear about for women. So lengthening or shortening a pattern. Patterns are not always drafted for the height that you are, so you might need to lengthen and shorten. Another one would be a full tummy adjustment. I've done this on Sam shirts that I've made for him. It's the same process that you would do on a women's shirt. So it's really no different. And yeah, it just gives you a little extra room in the belly. Broad back adjustment. That's one I always do for myself. And a lot of guys have that broad back too.
Mm-hmm. Forward sloping shoulders is another mm-hmm. one. So if your shoulders are a little bit angled forward, then you might want to change the location of your shoulder seam. Mm-hmm. So that's a fairly easy adjustment to do.
Yeah, if you have that computer hunch that most of us have. Wide or narrow shoulders is another one, especially, you know, if you have a more masculine body or if you're someone who works out a lot, you might have a much broader shoulder. You also might have a much larger bicep that you need to adjust for.
That was me flexing.
I can't see it. Where is it?
What? Rude.
Again, these adjustments are not revolutionary. There's not, you know, menswear terms for the adjustments. They're just the same old adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm ready to talk about fabric.
Good. You go ahead.
Fabric. Okay. So fabrics for men, it's interesting because there aren't really many fabric stores online that are only focused on menswear
fabrics. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of fabrics can work either way. One thing you want to keep in mind, just generally speaking for menswear, is most men's clothing doesn't have that like 2 or 3% spandex that a lot of women's clothing has. So if you're looking at pants, a lot of women's pants, especially ready to wear, you're going to find that little like comfort stretch in them that you won't find in men's clothes. Same thing with button down shirts. A lot of the time women's shirts will have a little bit of stretch. Men's shirts generally do not. So you want to look for fabrics that don't have that little bit of spandex in them. I'm talking generally here. Obviously, if you use something with a bit of spandex, it'll probably work. And maybe mm-hmm. your man or your loved one will love you for it because yeah. it'll give them a little bit more comfort. But if you're going for that classic menswear vibe, then try to avoid having too much spandex in the fabric. Mm-hmm. So some examples of fabrics that you might want to use that would go well with the patterns that we mentioned earlier, cotton jersey. That's like a classic t-shirt fabric for men. It's a little bit stiffer generally than a jersey that you might use for women. So look for a cotton jersey that has a little bit more weight to it. You don't want, you know, I'm talking generalizations here, people, mm-hmm. but you probably don't want a knit fabric that's going to be sheer at all. Like, I think women can get away with a little bit of sheerness in their knit tops, but generally men, I think, prefer to have something completely opaque. Mm-hmm. So look for something with that opacity and maybe stay away from bamboo or modal if you want that typical menswear t-shirt look, because bamboo and modal have a lot of drape to them and they can have a bit of sheen to them. So that doesn't always lend itself well to a men's classic t-shirt.
That's a good tip.
Yes. French terry. Great option. Waffle knit is a really fun option. Ooh. If you're working on Henleys or even like just a plain kind of sweater with like a crew neck or whatever, a waffle knit could look really good. So that's kind of what we're looking at for knits. And obviously with knits, spandex is going to be there. That's fine. So yeah. just look for something with a little bit of a lower spandex content. Mm-hmm. Cotton shirtings. So you can use cotton shirtings for shirts and also for boxers. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of using scraps of a cotton shirt that you made for boxers. If you have enough scraps, it's a really great way to use up those scraps.
Mm-hmm. Or pocket lining for their jeans.
Yes, yeah. yes. Quilting cottons are also fun. I think quilting cotton prints are one of those things that draws people in. So if you're making something for a gift, that might be a good option for boxers or even for a button-down shirt. I think you can definitely get away with a quilting cotton for a button-down shirt mm-hmm. or button-up shirt for a man. Flannel.
Yes.
Flannel is really
super
fun for
cozy.
Yes. And there are different weights of flannel. So you can get a lighter weight flannel or like a beefy, heavier weight flannel. Shay loves those flannel button-ups that are kind of almost like layering almost jackets.
Yeah. Sam loves those too. He yeah. doesn't want to wear a full jacket because he runs so hot. So he just wears a flannel shirt.
Yeah. yeah. So that's a fun fabric to play with if you're working on some menswear. Denim. Canvas, cotton twill, those are going to work really well for your pants, trousers, jackets, anoraks. Hey, you can make a men's trench coat.
You could. That'd be fun.
That would be really fun. Tweed.
For the English nobleman in your life.
yes. tweed is a good option. Even like a really nice pair of tweed trousers mm-hmm. would be really nice with like a white button-down shirt. okay. Wool. Obviously, wool is pretty much, you know, if you're working with a wool suiting, that's pretty self-explanatory. But you could also work with a wool melt-in for a coat. Mm-hmm. Waxed canvas.
Yeah.
Save the best for last.
I know. Waxed canvas is such a cool fabric and it does naturally kind of have a menswear vibe to it.
Yes.
So yeah, like I said, I used it for that apron and it was really fun to work with too. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, it is fun. Wax canvas is a cool fabric because it comes in and it's very waxy, like exactly what you would think a waxy fabric would feel like. It feels like wax from a candle was like poured on and just like, you know, mushed down, and it crinkles a lot. And when you unfold it, you'll see those fold lines, but you can actually use a hairdryer to smooth out those crinkles if they really bother you. But really what happens is over time when you work with wax canvas, it softens. Mm-hmm. Like
It softens significantly. It's not a fabric that you're going to pre-wash. So you're just going to work with it. It's going to get softer. It's going to feel more canvassy and less waxy. And if you like that waxed look, you can then go and re-wax it. So like at Blackbird, we sell the wax canvas. We also sell the tins of wax. So you can actually go buy the tin and re-wax your fabric if you want. But it's just a really fun fabric to work with.
Yeah, it softened so much just in the process of me making the apron. At first, it was so crinkly, and every time I folded it, it were like all these white lines everywhere. But then by the time I was finished, because I was handling it so much, it was already so much softer, and the white lines were starting to go away. And it has that nice sort of crinkly look to it. Like the texture is really pleasing. So yes, I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it's a really fun. And you can use it, I mean, for aprons, it's really fun. You can use it for bags, tote bags, dop kits, jackets. There are lots of possibilities.
Totally.
Yeah. So if you are looking for menswear type fabrics, obviously go with the pattern suggestion. But if you're just wanting to look for like inspiration, Google some of these fabrics and see what you find.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, lastly, we want to remind you of some men's sewing hashtags that you can follow. So hashtag men who sew and hashtag guys who sew.
Yeah, hashtag men sew too. I love this.
Yeah, men sew too.
Like me too.
The next one, hashtag dope men sew.
I pulled this from Norris's Instagram because I was trying to like figure out what hashtags are popular for men. And he uses dope men sew.
Amazing.
Which I'm into it.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people posting and sharing on these hashtags. So we recommend going and following these hashtags so that they'll come up in your feed and you can engage with male sewists in the community or people who are sewing menswear, especially if you yourself are interested in sewing menswear. But even if you're not, I feel like it's something that we can do to cultivate more of a community with men out there who are sewing and welcome them into the sewing community and maybe build that community a little bit more by engaging with them and following them and liking their posts and all that good stuff.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I would love if people would like DM me Instagram accounts on the Love to Sew Instagram. DM me like links to people's accounts that we can follow.
Oh, that'd be really fun. We can share them.
Yes. Okay. We also wanted to give a quick plug to the Sew It Academy because they have a whole men's division. So if there is a man in your life that might be interested in learning how to sew, that might be a good way for them to learn and feel like they are in a community of their own people because they've got like a whole men's focused division in the Sew It Academy.
Yeah. Or any of our male listeners out there. We know you're out there.
Yes, we know you're out there. Hello.
Hello. And you can also follow The Socialists because in February, they're doing a menswear sewing month, menswear for men, women, and non-binary folks. It's going to be menswear for everyone. Very excited about this themed month. And we hope that you go follow The Socialists and participate in the themed month. Read all the posts and stuff. I think it's going to be really interesting.
Yes. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. Thank you to our sponsor, SoSo Live. Go to youtube.com/SoSoLive to subscribe.
We're recording today in rainy Vancouver, Canada, and you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com. That's the last time I'll mention it.
If you're loving the show and you want to buy us a coffee or maybe a tea right now,
a tea would be nice.
A tea would be really nice. You can support us on Patreon, contribute $5 or more a month, and you'll get access to our bonus episode feed. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info. And remember, this month we're talking all about the new year, our goals, what our hopes and dreams are for 2019. It's a really fun episode, and you can get access to all of our previous episodes if you support us now, so you can go back and listen to what's been up with us for most of 2018. Thank you. Support us. We love you.
There's 10 episodes on there.
Yeah.
You can find me, Helen, at helenscloset.ca and Caroline at blackbirdfabrics.com. Our show is produced by Sam Humphrey.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Oops, your pants
fell down or split at the back.
These pockets don't have bottoms.
These are just tubes.